God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to look to your word. I thank you that your word says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Be our strength and our shield, our strong tower, our righteousness and our might, God. Forgive us for our feckless, weak, pathetic, selfish life. Show us now the plan that you have and give us the strength to carry it out. We are your soldiers. We want to receive marching orders and die in battle. That's what we want more than anything else. We love you and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The book of Philippians, as we started last week, was written by the Apostle Paul. Does anybody know where the Apostle Paul was when he wrote this book? He was in prison. Does anybody know why he was in prison? Because he made a faulty tent and he refused to repair it, so they picked him up and they... No. He was in prison because he went to the marketplace and stole a bunch of food and they threw it. No. He was in prison because he was told not to preach the word of God. He was told by the Jews that he was a heretic. He was told by the government he was creating insurrection. He was blamed for burning down Rome. And they decided, in order to shut him up, they would put him in prison. In which case, he then appealed to Caesar. There's a great story, I believe it's Acts 16 or 17, where he goes before Rome, and he says to one of the Roman prefectors, I appeal to Caesar. And they said to him those famous line, then to Caesar, you shall go. That led him on a two-year journey across the Roman Empire. And sometime before he appeared before Caesar, he was beheaded, according to church history. He was put in prison on multiple occasions, given strict warning to shut his mouth, and he chose not to. And what happened after that is a series of people who decided they were going to emulate the Apostle Paul in following their God by starting likewise churches. What the hell happened to us? Are you kidding me? Here was Paul's attitude from a prison cell. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, but supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Please give me your attention. What is he talking about? Some preached Christ out of envy and strife. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. There were people who swore they were doing God's work who said, wait a second. You're supposed to obey the government as a Christian. You are not supposed to be disobedient. That's in the Bible. And this man is disobedient. Some people just get what they deserve. I'm sorry. This is what the Bible says. And Paul, he said, you know what? I don't hold it against them. I don't even care. As long as Christ is being preached. If part of the word's going out, and part of the word's going out, and part of the word's going out, as long as it's being preached. He was so occupied with the calling that was placed on his life, he didn't have time to worry about those who were preaching against him. All he wanted to do was preach. He said, you know what? You put me in chains. Anybody you surround me with is going to find out about the Lord. No matter what you do to me, I will speak of the Lord. Now, I want to read you something that I wrote this morning. I do believe it was Holy Spirit inspired. I hope I will do what I usually do and wait 3 days before I send it out. But to my fellow pastors in the Calvary Chapel movement, I wrote this. It's time to reassess your church and reevaluate how and why you are doing it. Retool and recalibrate the whole order of your church and restructure the model so that the government cannot do this again. I understand that years ago this was the thing. Get a church and try to be big for the sake of getting a lot of people saved and serving. Well, the enemy has played his hand, and he's been watching, and his play is shrewd and effective. It's over. The megachurch model, the way we knew it in the 90s through today, it's done, and cannot and will not be effective in the future. Those who rule now know the power they possess, and they flex, and is being tolerated by the masses, even though it should not be. Change has to happen now. The overreach of power by the ruling class of politicians has shown us that our big church model has a weakness, a chink in the very armor. And this big church mentality, it's made us compliant, weak, and dependent upon the money that the crowds bring in. Let most of your staff go. Send them back out into the world to get jobs and support themselves financially through other means. And if need be, split up your churches so that they are smaller, with more potential for mobility, less exposure to the world's systems of business, and less vulnerable to local authoritarian municipalities, and not so dependent upon big donations and large groups of tithers. The next time this happens, and it will happen again, for lesser and yet more malicious reasons, the only thing that will be left of the modern churches will be the state-run, government-sanctioned, and surf-filled places of political worship, not dangerous, society-changing houses of Christ worshipers that are ready and prepared to choose liberty over life or death over dishonor, and with it, truth over hypocrisy. Do this. If not for yourselves, do it for the next generation. They're watching us. They're watching us now. And how do we want them to see us? As obedient lapdogs for the government, or peaceful but civically disobedient leaders for societal change, not afraid to tell our would-be oppressors, no. Can you imagine if the early church had listened to the government? My God, I'm embarrassed for us. We have sat down, rolled over, and now we are giving our paws to these kings and emperors. Yes, it will be difficult, but it's time to flip the switch. Before 9/11, before the 9/11 attackers did their wickedness and killed more than 3,000 people in New York City, they lived here among us. They led normal lives. They had jobs, girlfriends. Some of them started families. But when the call came down that it was time and it was over, they flipped the switch and went to work for their masters. Well, we now have the same ordination to flip the switch and to become what we were sent here to become, evangelists. Proclaiming a message of salvation and peace, of love, and if necessary, rebellion. It's time to flip the switch and be who we're called to be, whether or not it's popular or allowed. If the devil can have followers who are so radical and unafraid to die for his cause of wickedness, and they are and did change history by their deaths, we should be able to stand and fight with our weapons of warfare, the armor of God. If the sons of hell taught us anything at all, it should be that their obedience has put ours to shame. And our feckless resistance and disobedience to the very book we teach every single week will be put before us when we die. And if that death happens to be in a prison cell or in a hospital bed, that's up to God. And we should not be fearful of either. Oh, God, forgive us and put us back in the game, the front line, now. His way. What are we reading? How could we be some coincidental thing? We're reading a book about a man who wrote it while he was in prison. Shut your church down for a week or two. Make sure the thing is not there. All right. Maybe a month. Okay. What are we doing now? We're afraid. You know what pastors are telling me? Well, I have a staff. What? Tell him to get a freaking job. Plenty of trees out there. Go trimming and raking. Lots of money out there to be made. Believe me, the government's sending it out, hand over fist. You want to stand before the Apostle Paul who wrote this? Why didn't you go to church? Well, the government said there was a disease. Did you do any research? Well, I'm vulnerable. You're going to stand before this man when you die who went through what he went through? What would we become? Is that what? How many pastors now, if they were alive then, would have said, nah, listen, ministry was a career choice. A career choice? Oh, I thought ministry was a calling. And it's a call to death. Make no mistake about it. Emotional death. Any of the ministers here, anybody here that's been serving, you're an elder, a deacon, a pastor here. If you don't know about spiritual death, if you don't know about emotional death, if you don't know about financial death, if you don't know about friendship death, you've been, I don't know what you've been doing for the last 20 years. But I lost a whole lot of friends, whole lot of family, whole lot of money because I won't do certain things, because I wouldn't say certain things, because I wouldn't act certain ways. Well, are we ready for physical death now? Man, there's this great dude. I saw him on Tucker Carlson the other night. Kiki, my love, please stop that, sweetheart. Thank you, baby girl. He owns a restaurant in Maine, and the governor in Maine. Listen, what they're doing in Maine and Michigan is the most insane thing you've ever heard. This is not America. What they did in Maine is China. What they did in Maine is communist Russia. Do you know how many people have died in Maine of the coronavirus? Less than 100. Do you know how many people are currently in hospitals right now because of the coronavirus? Hardly any. Your chances of dying being hit by lightning right now in Maine are greater than dying coronavirus. And she shut down every business, every school, every social activity, everything shut down. This man who owns a restaurant stood up and said, well, I'm opening my business whether you like it or not. So he opened his business, and you know what they did? They pulled his liquor license and they pulled his business license. He shows up to work on Monday morning, he will be arrested for that. I guess that's when we'll see what he's made of. Now, make no mistake about it, I don't know what his spiritual affiliation is. It's his dedication to the Bill of Rights, to the, what's it called? The United States Constitution. It's his dedication to the Constitution that I'm impressed with. But if there's people who have dedication to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that comes with it, how much the more are we as Christians supposed to have dedication to the Word of God? I got one for you. I was leaving BJ's yesterday, and I refused to wear my mask in BJ's. So I walked into BJ's and shopped, spent $400, walked out. And you know how many people said something to me? None. Not one. Because they're looking for somebody who's daring to be normal. And when I walked out, the guy that would check your thing, he said, here's my receipt. He goes, thank you. He said, how you doing today, sir? I said, blessed and highly favored. washed in the blood of Christ. How about you? And he looked at me and goes, well, hallelujah, so am I. I said, praise God, brother. Now, I said the exact same thing to the girl at the cash register. She looked a little bit on the lesbianic side, I guess the word would be. Is that a word? It is now. You guys get the drift. So I said that. She said, how are you doing today? And I said, blessed and highly favored, washed my sins away by the blood of Christ. How about you? And she goes, well, that's great. I said, well, that's one answer. What else could I do? What else can you do? That's the question. That's the question. Continuing. Because it gets much, much better. I am not pulling this verse out of my hindquarters. 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by my life or by my death. You understand what he said? I could die. I understand that. It's worth it. You could die. You could get this disease, this horrible, horrible disease. The numbers could add up. You could be the one in 1,000, and you could die. The Apostle Paul says after this, look at the next verse. Read it out loud for me, please. Everybody together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Read it. Live is Christ, to die is gain. What kind of faith, what kind of belief in heaven, how rock solid was this guy's understanding that heaven was a heartbeat, a breath away, no doubt about it. I want that faith. Now, listen. I sit here condescendingly talking. I sit here condescendingly preaching. I've got the financial freedom because of the business that I've been running for the last 25 years that most don't have. What happens when they come after my business? Will I still be as bold? It's easy when you have liberty to preach liberty. And I am in no way, shape, or form asking God to take that from me. I'm not here to condescend and to make somebody feel guilty. I'm here to help. But I will brag about the liberty that God has given me because I found that liberty in Christ. I built that liberty on Christ, and I've used that as a vehicle for Christ. And I encourage you to do the same. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in this flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. You guys understand what he was saying? He's like, listen, I am not attached to this world. That almost sounds like this masochistic, fearless, almost suicidal attitude. I don't care, he said. I don't care. I'm not going to shut up. They threaten me with death. I don't care. I actually want to die. It's better if I was dead. I'll be face to face with Christ. But you guys need me. And I know you need me. And I'm really hard pressed between the two. One, to stay here and be with you guys and help you out during this thing. Another, to go home. Tired. Tired, he said. You guys know the Apostle Paul's story. Shipwrecked and beaten and chased and hated by his own countrymen and hated by other people's countrymen. He had his citizen revoked. You can't go through the amount of things that Paul talks about. He lost his wife. He had never seen his children again. He's tired. Tired. I don't remember where it is. It just came into my mind, but there's a verse, and I believe it's the Apostle Paul. He says, you know, things are almost over. So how should we live? He said, well, if you're not married, stay not married. If you're married, stay married. Don't change anything. Use everything to go forward. The main overriding arch has got to be Christ first. Yeah, but you don't understand. My husband's a real jerk. Yeah, you don't get it, man. My wife, she's like the biggest biscuit in the world. No! No, no, no. I get it. Here's what I get. It don't matter right now. You don't want to be in court and Christ comes back. You don't want to be in the middle of the room. You don't want to be renting your apartment. And you don't. Just whatever. Let her be herself. Let him be him. Who cares? Just Christ right now must be preached in the last of the last days, because everybody that doesn't receive Christ is going to hell. John Cinelli told me many years ago, Ryan, you know when you're a real Christian? When you don't want your worst enemy to go to hell. It's that bad a place. It's hard. And listen, it's not like the Apostle Paul didn't understand. Remember, he was a tent maker. The guy worked for a living. And I know some of you all have jobs. I have a business to run. And sometimes in the middle of my day, like, do this and get that and have this and there's that and move that and there's building that and there's that. Burn the barn down, build a new one. And all of a sudden, you're like, whoo! I forgot what I'm here for. I'm talking to guys that are painters and contractors and landscape guys. I forgot what I'm here for a second. Whoo! Hey, could I pray for you before I get here? Pray for me. You don't pray. Yeah, you can pray for me. No, I'm going to pray for you right now. Pray for me. You can touch me. Don't touch me. And being confident, verse 25, of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all of your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only, and here's the, if you thought the rest of this, what I already preached, was intense, wait till you hear what he says here now. There is everything that I've said right now. If you've been convicted by anything I've said right now, wait till you see what he says here. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition. Before we read the rest of the verse, you hear what he said there? If you're afraid because of your enemies, you're proving to them that your faith is full of crap. That's what he's saying. You get it? You're proving it. Why would you be afraid to die if you believe in heaven? Well, I'm 92% sure. Why? Why would you be afraid if you're sure of heaven? It's proof of perdition. It's proof. So, and what he's saying ipso facto in reverse is not having fear is proof that they're going to hell and you're not. You see the next line he says there? Again, let me read it. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. It's proof. If you are unafraid, whatever it is, I told you, don't witness. Listen, it was years ago. I was at the gym. I was an instructor. I had learned jiu-jitsu. I'd made it all the way because I boxed as a kid, and I was instructing a class. And after our classes, we used to pray. And one of the guys looked at me and goes, "Hey, man, what are you doing there?" I'm like, "Oh, we pray after every class." He goes, "Yeah, you can't do that." And I was like, "Yeah, but aren't you a Christian?" He says, "Yeah, but you got Jewish people and Muslims here. You can't. I said, "Well, they pray with us too, though." "Yeah, but then they come to me and complain." "It's your place, man. I won't pray as a group, but I'm going to be praying for people in this place, and if that ain't no good, you're going to have to throw me out." I said, "Look, I don't care if you want to pray one-on-one people, but you can't make it like it's a class thing. It's your business. It's your business. Got no choice." But I certainly did not stop praying. And he'd see me pray with people after the class. Somebody would get hurt, and I'd lay hands on them, and he'd look at me and be like this. And this was a quote-unquote Christian. You know? And that's what you're going to get, these lukewarm, I feel bad for everybody people. Like, you think a Muslim cares? I remember when I was away, the Muslims, they get their food before them, and before they pray, they put their hands up like this, and they bow their heads. And then when they finish, they look around. "Somebody gonna make fun of me?" And then they eat. And I was like, I loved the boldness. And then the Christians, nobody's looking. They put their hands up. I love that. I'm not going to be outdone by the ungodly. I'm not going to be outdone by some other religion or faith. I'm not going to have their boldness be greater than my boldness. No how, no way. Let me read that to you again. "And in not in any way terrified by your adversaries." So when you're not terrified, it's proof of their perdition. I'm adding the "there." "But to you of salvation." And that's from God. What's your proof? No fear. Why? To live as Christ, to die as gain. Do you believe it? Well, what do you have to do to increase your faith? Because it's like that line in that movie. It's one of my favorite scenes in Braveheart when the Scottish king is talking to his father, the past king, and he says, all men grow weak. Because I don't want to grow weak. I want to believe as he believes. Courage is easy to follow. Just sellouts they are. Most of them just. Why did we get saved? Did you not know? When you got saved, did somebody tell you, "Hey, from here on out, things are going to be great"? Have I not been preaching this word? "Hey, man, you know what the early church went through? We're living off of their blood. You know that, right?" I mean, it's so obvious. In our, the parallel between our country and the Bible is so obvious. Guys, do you know what the men of this country did 200 years ago? They fought off the greatest army in the history of the world. The British Army, with the geniuses of generals that they had, the firepower, and a bunch of redneck backwoods country folk formed militias and beat them. I've said this 1,000 times because I can't get it out of my brain. I can't get it out of my mind. Do you guys know how the British Army used to track the Americans, the colonizers, the colonialists? By the blood stains in the snow, because they did not have shoes in the winter. Their feet were all gangrenous and cracked, and they used to bleed. And they used to know the Americans were here. See the blood in the snow? The Americans were here. They didn't have... What?
They didn't have shoes on the ice and the snow, and they fought a war like that? See, I got these boots because they have high arches, and my arch often hurts, so I have to get a higher arch in the boot that I wear. When did I become such a woman? That was a terrible analogy. When did I become such a cupcake? My wife's not here. She's not watching, don't worry. She gets enough of me at home. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Wait a second. What am I missing here? What am I missing? Granted, not just to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake? What happened to the you can never get sick if you just believe? What happened to the you can be rich, tell God I'm claiming the riches of the wicked? And what happened to that? It has begin. Dean, it has been given to you. Congratulations. You get to believe in Christ and to suffer for him. Yeah, could we skip that last part? No! No! Did you think there was no suffering? God's not calling those who are equipped for this calling. He is equipping those who are called for this calling. He wants you to be strong. He wants you to slay men. He wants you to drive a tent peg through a guy's head if he falls asleep stupidly. Women? Huh? Jail. Who wants to go to jail for Christ? Oh, JL. Oh, I thought she was saying she wanted to go to jail. I was like, well, yeah, I'm with you. You have the other cell. Woman's name was JL. It's a story in the Bible. I talked about it on Wednesday night. This enemy of God hides in her tent, and he tells her, don't say a word, I'll kill you. She says, oh, I'm so sorry. So he falls asleep, and she just takes a little peg and just goes, whack, with one whack, right through his head into the ground. Then she comes out and goes, he's in here. He's no more problem. Problem solved. Now the wives in here are like, oh, that's how you solve that problem. But also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. And what's so great about that as we close is this. The Apostle Paul is not trying to give you anything he's not living. I'm not trying to sell you a bill of goods. I'm just telling you this. Everything you're watching me go through, you're going to go through it. Wait a second. I want the blessing. I want the benefit. What did they say? Freedom's not free? The greatest generation, they stormed the beaches at Normandy. One by one, they got picked off. You think that was for nothing? And here we are. I forget the writer. It was a very famous French writer, and he toured the United States, and he said, the only thing that will destroy America is America. This is a nation that can only be destroyed from within. And that's where we're at. Half of our population hates itself. They hate America. We're terrible. We're colonizers. And I was watching Black Panther with my kids last night, just watching this movie that had the potential to be so good, but they had to add the stupid left-wing liberal talking points. It's just, man, just can you just make a movie and shut up? And until we collectively write their names down and say, okay, you hate our country, you hate our president, what's your name? I'm circling it, and I'm never watching another movie with you in it again. You who produced this movie, I'm writing your name down in every movie. Well, it was funny. He made me laugh. He entertained me, so I watched his movie anyway. All the Avengers. How many of you guys saw Avengers Endgame? Oh, man, that was a cool movie, right? All the actors in it, they're left-wing, liberal, God-hating. You don't know how bad God-haters they are. Bad. That one girl, what's her name? Scarlett Johansson. She has a video where she reads the Old Testament with a sultry voice, like an orgasmic moan in her voice while she's reading the Bible, because she's mocking God. And I paid to watch that girl in a movie. What's wrong with me? Look, a couple months ago you might have said, Ryan, a little heavy on the on the attitude today, huh? Yeah. You know what I'm saying now, though? At very least, this is a 2-minute warning. At very least, at most, this is the end. People don't relinquish power. It's like lowering a price. If you lower the price, you could always raise it again. If you raise the price, you can't lower it. They have just taken power completely away from the people without any authority, without any vote. You think they're giving it back, guys? I want you to just remind you of that letter I just wrote to these pastors that I'm going to be sending out on Tuesday or Wednesday. And I don't care if they revoke my Calvary Chapel charter or whatever it is. I don't care. I don't care if they come and shut us down. We'll meet at the house. We'll meet at your house. We'll go house to house, Acts 2:42. What did Paul just say? I'm only telling you the things that I went through. You're going to be going through them. And if I don't, well, you could be just like that guy who preaches Christ out of Joel Osteen, your best life now. You coward. You filthy, disgusting coward. I'm ashamed to be called by the same name as you. No wonder we're a joke to the outside world, because that's all they do. Whether it's their money or their mistresses, whether it's their feckless, weak preaching or their big smiles. Is this the guy that we just wrote? That's the Apostle Paul, guys. He just wrote that stuff. How is the guy that wrote that stuff being preached by that guy? What did I miss? I've yelled enough today. Own your car and worship the Lord. Next time you get an opportunity to meet with gusto and vigor. Love the brother. And please tell 3 people today. Just say, hey, Jesus loves you. I just want you to know that. Just give a little effort. You're not in jail yet. Yet. Amen? Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us to live in this time and this place. Thank you so much, God, for the Apostle Paul. He went through it just for us. God, please help us not to be weak and unwilling. Lord Jesus, what you went through, they outlawed you and you didn't stop, God, and I thank you for that. Bless my brothers and sisters that are here, the conviction that's in heart, God, or the conviction of sin. Forgive the sins of the people that are here that have not received you yet. Let them say amen, and I do. And for those that are here that just wish they could find the strength to be stronger, God, help them to be stronger. God, we know and we proclaim for us to live as Christ and to die as gain. We will not be afraid. Let them know they're going to hell because we're not afraid of dying. We love you, God,
in Christ's name and for his glory and the furtherance and addition of souls to his kingdom, we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen.